This prayer is a gift from the preacher and from God to you. Is this prayer that you can take on your lips, it can help you to pray through the whole book of Hebrews. This prayer is something that you can use for yourself to make it to the end. Verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, how do we make it to an end? Firstly, we pray to God, God who exalted Jesus. And if you're following a handout, we're on our first point. It's a prayer to God who exalted Jesus. At its core, a prayer is a request to God. It's asking God to do something for us. But you notice in the first half of the prayer, he doesn't dive right into his request. He goes on to give an extended description of who God is, specifically what God did to his son. That is, God exalted him. Verse 20, now may the God of peace, who brought up or brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. You notice that I put there the text in the handout, and I said brought up as opposed to brought again, as you see in the ESV. And the word there is probably more accurately translated brought up, that Jesus was sort of brought up from the dead. That is, he raised Jesus up from the dead. And so when the author refers to the resurrection of Jesus, I want to suggest that he is primarily saying something apologetic. He's not primarily trying to defend the resurrection of Jesus, though I think there's real apologetic force to the resurrection of Jesus. Think about it. It's a historical event. He died in public. He was on the cross in Golgotha. The Romans crucified him. Huge amounts of people saw him get crucified. Public event. And then he rose again 3 days later. 500 witnesses saw the risen Lord Jesus. There is compelling evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. But here the preacher, I don't think, is making an offensive claim. He's not trying to give an apologetic claim for the resurrection of Jesus. But he's asserting something theological or stating something true about the Father and the Son. Think about it. Jesus died meant that Jesus was a man. He was a human being. The Son of God took on flesh. He experienced suffering, pain and hardship. He experienced the temptations that you experience, the discouragement and the disappointment. And ultimately, he experienced death. Fully God, but fully man. And as a man, he understands you and understands me. God brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, a man. But again, if you've been tracking verse 3 of the book of Hebrews, you know this language of brought up. It's not just brought up from the grave, but also brought all the way up to heaven, the ascension. And again, the focus on the ascension of Jesus is perhaps the big, unique contribution of the book of Hebrews to the entire Bible. The ascension of Jesus, the preacher says, and this is the main point, that we have such a high priest at God's right hand in heaven. And as God raises him up, Jesus enters into heaven and he sits down at God's right hand as king and priest. And what that means is that a single sacrifice for sin has been offered. The high priest has sat down. It means that there is definitive forgiveness of sins. It means that our conscience is cleansed. The blood of Jesus washes you clean. Jesus brought up from the dead. Not just resurrection, but also ascended, exalted into the heavens. And newsflash, that is where Jesus is today. Right now, even as we speak, we are in his presence. He is at his Father's right hand today, seated right there, interceding for us. Jesus is alive. I'm not sure how many of you are into Christian rap. There is a great song by the Christian rapper called Shylin. You guys heard of Shylin? I was going to play it, but I forgot to plug it into the PA system. And I was going to say, I'm not going to rap it for you, but I'm not sure if I have a choice. I'm not going to rap it for you. I'll read out the lyrics for you. No, I'm not going to do it. Someone gives the beat. No, that's not happening. Basically, the song is called Jesus is Life. And here's the lyrics. He goes, Plato is dead. Socrates is dead. Nietzsche and Darwin are dead. However, Jesus is alive. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Herod and Pontius Pilate are dead. However, Jesus is alive. Jesus is... That's how the tune goes, okay? I'll play the song maybe later. Yeah, but you get the idea. You know, it's very simple lyrics, but a very complex and profound point. Like, Jesus is alive. He's alive today. But he's more than alive. He is seated at his Father's right hand, ruling and interceding as king and priest. And that's precisely where he goes next. I look at verse 20 again. May the God of peace who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus. Notice two descriptions. The great shepherd of the sheep and by the blood of the eternal covenant. The shepherd is the one who leads the flock. Israel had Moses to lead them through the wilderness into the promised land. We have Jesus, the great shepherd. The shepherd is also an instrument term for the king. And this king is, from his throne flows mercy and grace, help in time of need. There's a king who leads with kindness and mercy. He lays down his life for the sheep. And on the backdrop of self-serving leaders in Westminster, we can see why this shepherd is a great shepherd. He is ascended to God's right hand as king. But not just king, he's also the priest by the blood of the eternal covenant. See, the blood that's referred there is his blood, the blood of Jesus. And that was a big focus in chapters 8 to 10. The blood of animals was not enough. No animal blood can wash away your sin. The animal blood is not human blood. It cannot take away the sin of humans. An animal would not be willing. Try sacrificing an animal. No animal is willing. But yes, for the Son of God. He had a body. God made him a body, gave him a body. He incarnated as a man. But he was willing. He says, I have come to do your will. The Son says to the Father, I was obedient to your will. Not my will, but yours be done. And so that blood is the precious blood. And that blood can wash away all our sins and establish the new covenant. Israel had a covenant that was written on stone tablets. We have a covenant that's written on our hearts. It's an eternal covenant mediated by the great high priest forever. And the psalmist says, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so this is the God who will answer this prayer. It's a God who has enabled the entire journey of Jesus. Remember we said, if you were here previously, there's this U-shaped journey that Jesus takes in the book of Hebrews. It's like a zip line. Jesus, from heaven, he clips onto the zip line and he jumps off the cliff and he zoops down to earth. He comes down as a man. He goes through the grave, comes out of the grave into resurrection life, and then zips all the way back up to heaven to be his Father's right hand. This entire U-shaped journey has been enabled by God himself. And that journey is a journey that God has enabled. And so this prayer is not just closing greetings in the letter. It is drawing from all the truths from the letter so far. The entire journey of Jesus is done by God, the God of peace, the God who is slow to anger and abounding love, keen to reconcile people to himself, the God of peace. It is this God who will answer this prayer. And so this is the person who we are speaking to when we pray, as a request to God, who has exalted Jesus. But we have yet to mention what the request is about. Secondly, look at verse 21. May God, who exalted Jesus, verse 21, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The request to God is for him to equip us. The word equip has a sense of supplying resources, giving or even completing you to supply the necessary resources you need to keep going to the end, to bring us to completion. And notice the request there is to equip you with everything good. everything that is good for you. He will put you through the right amount of trials and tribulations that is good for you. Not too much that it will break you. Not too little that will leave you unchanged. It will be everything good. And all of that will enable you to do His will. But the will here in Hebrews is unfortunately not what some people think. It's not God's specific will for your life, whether you should work in J.P. Morgan or Barclays. You know, it's not about that kind of will. God's will is obedience to the Father. It is the will that Jesus obeyed. Chapter 10, the Son says to the Father, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written of me in the scroll of the book." God's will for His Son is cross-shaped obedience. It is a willingness to go outside the camp, to bear the shame and reproach of society, to be obedient even to the point of death. And so the prayer is a request to God, the God who exalted Christ, to equip, to supply, to give you all you need with everything good, so that you can follow in the footsteps of His Son to do God's will. And so how can we keep going to the end? God, who exalted Jesus, will equip you to do His will. He will equip you to do His will. And one is to notice that there's a real logical force behind what is being said here. And that really gives us confidence that this prayer will be answered. Firstly, God has the ability. He has the ability to equip you. Because He has historically Jesus through death into resurrection and exalted life. Because He has done it for Jesus, He can do it for you. He has the ability. He has the track record. But more than that, He doesn't just have ability. He has the intent. You see, He does this great work for His Son, for you. He prepared a body for His Son so that His Son can help you. He made a high priest, and by definition, the high priest is to intercede for you. He made all those promises in the Old Testament, a forever priest, a new covenant, the forgiveness of sins for you. And He's done it all because He wants to reconcile the world to Himself. He's the God of peace. You see, He has the ability, but He's also the intent. He can and He will do it. And so God, who exalted Jesus, will equip you to do His will. And so when the journey's hard, and when you are stuck in the ravine, and the foliage is so thick you can't see the light, and you do not know where you're going, ask for help. Ask for help, and He will give you all you need. It's not an iced lemon tea packet that will give you a temporary morale boost. Please. Who has suffered and been tempted beyond what you have experienced. And so whatever you experience, He knows. He can sympathize with your weakness, and He can offer you grace and mercy in your time of need. And when your conscience troubles you, and when guilt weighs you down, it keeps you from being zealous for Him, it keeps you being distant from God, you can remember that His blood, that's external to how you feel, His blood, wash your sins clean and comfort your troubled conscience. And He is the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. And He is your helper who stretched out His hand to take hold of you, to pull you through death into resurrection life. And so we can make it to the end. We're not like Israel, who was in the wilderness, who followed Moses, who had very little resources. We can make it to the end because we have Jesus. We have Jesus, and He's alive today. And so when things are hard, you look up because He's up there, and you look forward because He has made it to the end. Hold fast to confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. There is mercy and grace at His throne. Draw near to Him in your time of need. We've come to the end of Hebrews, but it's not the end of the journey. Next week, we start a new series in the book of Revelation, because Revelation is another resource to give you God's revealed revelation of the world that we're living in today. And so do come back from that. But as I find encouragement, I don't shrink back, keep drawing near. And, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, of all of this pressing to the end. Why don't I pray? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.